Thank you. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Kiribaradhari Gopi Jana Balabha Kiribaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Kiribaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Kiribaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Balabha Giribara Dhari Giribara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Giribara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Giribara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vivo. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada, Jaya, oh Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada, Jaya Radha Bhalava, Radha Bhalava, Shri Radhe. Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Jai Gaura Nitai, Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Jai Gaura Nitai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa, Parabhajakacharya Asotera Sata Sri Srimad, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai, Nam Premshikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vas Adi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Tashi Sri Radha Gopinath, Shamakund, Radhakund, Giri Govardhan ki jai. Shri Vrindavan dam ki jai. Shri Mayapur Navadweep dam ki jai. Shri Jagannath Puri Lord Jagannath ki jai. Shri Jamuna Devi ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prestaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namani, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pracharane, Nirvisesha Sunyavadi, Paschacha Desitarane. Hare Krishna. So we're now, we've moved on from chapter one of this extraordinary Leela of Ajamil to chapter two. And yesterday, not yesterday, the day before, we heard the arguments of the Vishnu Dutas, Yama Dutas. Yes? They gave their arguments. Where's my book? Here. Why they should have the right to take Ajamil. They explained, first of all, they said that he was sinful because he'd married a prostitute, which is entirely unacceptable, especially in Vedic culture. And then from there, he'd performed so many sinful activities. And they explained the importance of their role, which is to punish, because they were telling the Vishnu Dutas that this is a way of purification. They have disobeyed the laws of the Lord, and so therefore if they're punished, they're purified. And we use the example that if you have a big debt or you're bankrupt and then you get some money, then you have to give that money to remove your debt. So I owed you $5 and I received $5 from my work and I give you the $5, my debt is cleared, and what do I have? Zero. No minus, but also no plus. This is the business of Yamaraj, to bring you back to zero. And again, you can start, your accounting can go on. The Vishnu Dutas asked the Yama Dutas four questions. One, please explain what is religion and what is irreligion. Number two, what is the process for punishing others? Number three, who are candidates for punishment? Who are you looking at to see whether or not they deserve punishment? And then they asked, at the last they asked, is everyone a candidate for punishment? And the Yamadutas explained very clearly that the Vedas are the religious principles. Anything opposite the Vedas is sinful. They explained that Narayan, he's the cause of all causes, he's the cause of everything. And so he also is not controlled by the gunas. We are, he's not. They explained also that there are so many witnesses. And they gave a long list of witnesses, which include the sun, the moon, the four directions, and so on. Not just people, because people we might hide from them, but we can't hide from the planet itself. And we think that the planet, or we're trained to think that the planet is just a matter of chemicals. So there's no consciousness there, just chemicals. But they're explaining, no, 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 there's consciousness there. The Supreme Consciousness sees everything. There are so many witnesses, and because in this world people are all pious, but they're also impious, and both is possible if you have a body to go one way or the other, you're free to choose. You're free to put your money there or put your money there. You have all this freedom. And because of this freedom, it's inevitable, if you have a body, that you will sin. This is the Yamadutta is explaining. It is inevitable that sin will come at some time. Because you're under the modes of nature and they're always changing, so they make you do things. And so therefore they said, actually that means that everybody here is punishable. This is the extent of their task. All living beings are punishable. And in proportion to their religion and their irreligion, they will enjoy or suffer the reactions of their karma. It's very simple. To them it's very simple. They have a job to do. They're the order carriers of Yamaraj, of death. This man, then they explain, this man, he started his life as a brahmana. He was a good man to begin with. He was doing things in the right way. And then he met this woman. He saw an enactment of a sensual scene that turned his mind so that he couldn't get it out of his mind. And Srila Prabhupada points out in numerous lectures that he gives on this particular section that what Ajamil saw once is going on in the streets of the world all the time. So how can someone possibly become a serious, strict brahmachari when these things are going on all around them? And then he explains that it is possible by the mercy of Krishna only, no other way, because it's so out in the open. And if one meditates on the boy, girl, man, woman things, then the mind becomes, as Ajamil's, the mind becomes dirty. So they finally said, okay, and he was a good man, but he became a bad man. And they said, he is victimized, very sinful, lived extravagantly, ate the food cooked by a prostitute. He's full of sins. He's full of sins, unclean, and addicted to sinful activities. Now, we as devotees, we don't like to think of ourselves as addicted or addictive, because addiction means that you do something over and over again that you don't, in a sense, you don't want to do it. You know it's badness for you, but you can't help it. You just keep doing it. But we, if we look very closely, we see we're addicted to so many things. Some of us are addicted to a bit of laziness. Some of us are addicted to sleeping. Some of us are addicted to eating more than we require. So many little bad habits. They're compulsive. They go on by themselves. So if you think to yourself, something you do that you really don't like, even if it's the way you talk, the way you walk, something that you do you really don't like, and you think, can I stop doing that, and you see how hard it is, then you get an understanding. He's addicted to sinful activities. He's constantly thinking how to do something impious, impure. So they finish their presentation by saying, he has done no atonement. There's no regret in him. We may have done the atonement of feeling sorry that we're not better than we would like to be, or better than people think we should be, or better than we want to be. So our regret, like we hear about with Jad Bharat, when he became a deer, He showed the example. Prabhupada says in the purport that by constant repentance he became purified. He continued to regret what had happened. But he's done none of that, nothing. So we must take him to Yamaraj because he needs punishment to become purified back to zero. That's for his benefit. He will make amends with God, and in his afterlife he will have a pure, purified life. This is their intention. Now the Vishnu Dutas speak, and they say, the first thing they say is that it's so painful. It's so painful to hear what you're saying. It's so painful. It's so painful to see irreligion being maintained as religion. This is astonishing. They just gave the processes of religion, and we can also agree with their presentation. It makes sense. But they said, but you are punishing a sinless person. A sinless person. They just went over his whole life, and you heard what he did. And there he is, surrounded by his life. And they're saying he's a sinless person. He is unpunishable. You cannot punish him. He's done nothing wrong. Nothing wrong? Nothing wrong? He's set up as the example of everything wrong. And they say he's done nothing wrong. And then they say that a Yamaraj, he's the god of death, he's like the government, and he should understand these things. But if someone doesn't understand these things and he's the governor, then where can somebody go for justice? So they're almost even criticizing Yamaraj, not Yamaraj himself, but the example that the Yamadutas have given of Yamaraj punishing this person, because they're pointing out something extremely specific about Ajamil. They're not saying that every bad person isn't bad. They're saying this person is an exception to the rule and you didn't pick it up. And you're the governor of death's servants. How could you not have seen this? People follow a leader, and everybody cannot discriminate. They don't know how to punish somebody or not punish somebody. And this man has already atoned. He's atoned not only for the horrible things he's done in this life, he has made atonement for all the things he may have done in a million lives. Because we heard that anyone is guilty and Yamaraj can take them. Because anyone can make a mistake and do something wrong. So if you added up a million lifetimes of sinning, he's atoned for that. It's gone already. So I found when I was reading this, I was quite astonished, because this led me to think, I didn't see his atonement. I don't see him as atoned. I see him as actually sinful. But now we're going to go into our verse for today. Patita skalito bhagna sandastastapta ahata Hariritya Vishenaha Pumam Nahati Yataha Patita Skalito Bhagna Sandastastapta Ahata Haritya Vashenata Pumam nahati yatanaha. Patita skalito bhagna. Sandastas tapta ahataha. Hari itya vashenaha. Pumam nahati yatanaha. Tita skalito bhagna. Sandasta tapta ahataha. Haritya vishinaha. Pumam nahati yatanaha. Patita skalito bhagna. Sandastastapa ahataha. Haritya vishinaha. Pumam nahati yatanaha. Patita skalito bhagna. Sandastastapta ahataha. Hariritya vashenaha. Pumam nahati yatanaha. Ladies. Patita skalito bhagna. Sandastas tapta ahataha. Hariritya vashenaha. Pumam nahati yatanaha. Patita. Fallen down. Skalita. Slipped. Bhagna. Having broken his bones. Sandashtaha. Bitten, tapta, severely attacked by fever or similar painful conditions. Ahata, injured. Hari, Lord Krishna. Iti, thus. Abhashena, accidentally. Aha, chance. Puman, a person. Na, not. Ahati, deserves. Yatanaha, hellish conditions. Translation. If one chants the holy name of Hari and then dies because of an accidental misfortune, such as falling from the top of a house, slipping or suffering broken bones while traveling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain and high fever, or being injured by a weapon, one is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life, even though he is sinful. Please repeat. If one chants the holy name of Hari and then dies because of an accidental misfortune, such as falling from the top of the house, slipping and suffering broken bones while traveling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain and high fever, or being injured by a weapon, one is immediately absolved from having to enter into hellish life, even though he is sinful. Purport. by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 8:6, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajanti kalevaram tam tam evati konteya sadatad bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. If one practices chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, he is naturally expected to chant Hare Krishna when he meets with some accident. Even without such practice, however, if one somehow or another chants the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, when he meets with an accident and dies, he will be saved from hellish life after death. Om Agena Timahandasya Gena Gena Salakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this verse, I remember first reading this in 1987. And usually you can't remember when you first read a verse in the Bhagavatam because days and weeks pass. But when I read this verse, it was a revelation for me. And I'll tell you why. There was a devotee who was a very serious devotee from Los Angeles. And she had been very much involved in preaching, and she was very respected, highly respected. And she was the first person who I heard about, 1987, it's a long time ago. And she was my age, so we were fairly young. She was the first person that I had heard about getting cancer. A serious devotee, and coming to Vrindavan. Previous to that, there had only been a couple of cases. So her name was Gauri Dasi, and she came to Vrindavan, and because she was so highly respected by the whole society, she came in Kartik 1986 at first, and she had come sort of, you could say, prepared. It was terminal, so she was prepared. And because of her status, so many leading devotees of the time came one after another and read to her, and they would sit themselves in her room and read to her constantly. And she was greatly appreciative of that. She had gone to an Ayurvedic doctor in Vrindavan, and he had said that he could put her cancer into remission. But she was feeling at that point that now I've come to Vrindavan, this is the most wonderful place, I will stay here for the rest of my life, however long or short that is. However, as the days got closer to the end of the year, she suddenly thought to herself, this is the time of the Christmas marathon. And I've always done the Christmas marathon, and I've always done very well. She was very strong, super strong. And so she said, I want to go back to Los Angeles and do the Christmas marathon. And so she did. She went back, and she did extremely well. And everybody treated her like a great heroine because, look, we didn't know much about the experience of having cancer, and it looked as though she had conquered over this obstacle, and there she was, and she became first in the Christmas marathon. She did so well, and everyone was cheering her on. She was a great heroine. However, just soon after, January, February, the cancer returned. She had cancer in her liver, and it returned. And at that particular point, she began to think, I should probably get back to Vrindavan as quickly as possible, because now she understood that she had been given that remission, she had been given the opportunity to do the things she wanted to do. It's like if you say to someone, I have to tidy my room before I go to the hospital. Yes, go do it. She was given the freedom to do that, but now it came back, and now she thought, now I have to go. So in about February or March 1987, she came back to Vrindavan. But it was interesting. This time, it must have been perhaps April. It was after all the devotees had been and gone. And this time, she came back and nobody particularly gave her any attention, because everyone was busy. The fanfare of Kartik and all the devotees, or the Gaupurnima time, had already passed. And now we're heading into the hot season in Vrindavan, and everybody's leaving. So all the people she knew, they're leaving to get out of the heat, and there she is. She's come right, boom, right into the heat. And what she did was she brought with her, she was very, very organized. She bought a big tape recorder like this. You don't see these anymore, cassette player like this. And she had all these cassettes of Srila Prabhupada. She had them all prepared. And she had a little cassette player, and we were supposed to put the little cassette player when the time came. She was very, very orderly. It had to go right beside her ear so she could hear Srila Prabhupada. And the big one had to play constantly, 24 hours that one was playing, and she was organized. And gradually she could no longer eat anything because the cancer had come to her stomach. And so what she had organized that was she had some ice blocks. There was an orange-flavored ice block, and there was a something called Complan, and she had a chocolate-flavored ice block. And she had a little fridge in the room. She had the orange ones there, the chocolate ones there. And such a time she would have one of these. And such a time she'd have one of those. And whoever was supposed to take care of her was supposed to remember all this and do it exactly. She was a very strong person. But all the people who could really get behind her systems had left already. And she ended up with one rather scattered lady who had three children and was all the time running off after one of them and couldn't remember the systems. And that was annoying to her. But there she was. And this was what Krishna gave her. And she had to spend long hours alone now because there wasn't anybody to come and see her. And in the first phase of her experience, I remember myself, I was a little scared to go into her room because she was so precise, so scared of her. But now she was being, by Krishna's arrangement, she was being brought down, down, down. And I remember saying to her at one point, Gauri, you're going to have to come down before you leave this world. Otherwise, you're going to become a Brahmaloka or something, you know, controller, a big controller. You have to come down. You have to be coming smaller, smaller. And so Krishna had arranged it very sweetly. And so people would come and see her rarely, but they would come and they took care of making her ice, and they sometimes gave it to her on time. And at a certain point, she decided that she should make an extra special try and go up to Delhi and see if chemotherapy would work. And that was the time when somebody came to tell her, because she was quite restless, that Gauri, if you get in a taxi to go to Delhi, you will die on the way. You maybe have around about 2 weeks left. The doctor came to her. And that was very helpful for her because she was restless because she didn't know how long she was going to have to endure this discomfort and this confinement. So now she sort of got herself focused. I have 2 weeks left. And she was constantly having the people playing the recordings specifically and doing different things, reading to her more. But at the same time, she was feeling a lot of pain. Now, I and a friend of mine, the two of us, were probably the only two of her maybe Prabhupada disciples even. We may have been the only two there. And my friend was very good, had a very deep sense of the power of chanting. So she would sit with Gauri and express to her, talk to her and tell her how powerful chanting was, and told her that, you know, you have to keep your japa going. And it was very surprising to me because Gauri was so strict that she wasn't chanting any japa. And that made me think, I thought, if a person as serious and strict as her has stopped their chanting, stopped their sadhana, what she must be going through. Because she's not like me, I'm a little irregular. She's a strong person and she's gone down into a bit of a hole. And so then my contribution was the Bhagavatam, because I like to read the Bhagavatam, and so I would go and sit with her and read something to her whenever I could. And one day I found this verse. Now, not only is this verse very instructive, but there is a lecture of Srila Prabhupada on this verse. And if I'm not mistaken, I listened to the lecture, the Bhagavatam lecture, before I actually read the verse. And let me tell you what Srila Prabhupada says on this very same verse. So then he says, this is just the end of his lecture, he says, during this time, you can test practically. He's just read this verse. It's at the very start of his lecture. You can test practically. What is that? You try to chant Hare Krishna. If anyone does so, you will immediately feel that from the injuries, now there was a list there, practically speaking, we could translate it. On the road, a car accident, you fall over, you break your bones like old people do. You can get bitten by a snake. You can have a terrible high fever. Someone can attack you with a weapon. All of these things. The verse says one is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life, even though he is sinful. That's what the verse says. But please hear what Srila Prabhupada says. The author, this is practical, this is practical. Even a snake bite, you can be saved. The author never says that you may be saved from death, but the suggestion is that you may not feel much pain. This is practical, because this material world is full of dangers. So when I heard that, Prabhupada's words on this verse, I immediately went to Gauri and told her what I had heard. If you can chant Hare Krishna at the time of death, you won't feel much pain. And to be honest, I never had such an experience that I can remember. And so I was hoping that this would actually be effective for her. Because sometimes Srila Prabhupada says something, but we don't quite come up to the qualification to receive that result. So I was in one part of me was quite curious. And as she got closer and closer and closer to the end, she relinquished a lot of her kind of sternness and her strictness, and she became more and more childlike. And at the very day that she was to pass away, from the morning, everyone could say, the doctor had said she has only X amount of hours left. Myself and my friend, we sat with her. She sat on one side and I sat on the other. We brought Gauri down from the mattress on the bed and put the mattress on the floor, because so many people came to chant with her, because she was such a hero in that sense. And my friend sat on one side and I sat on the other, and we had to constantly turn her. There was no nurse, there was no doctor, there was no tubes, there was no nothing. There was just Vrindavan. And there she was, and we'd turn her over this way and we'd turn her over that way. And so when she turned to face me, I would keep saying to her, Gauri, if you chant Hare Krishna, Prabhupada says, you will not feel much pain. When she turned the other way, my friend would get her to chant. She actually sat with her and very patiently got her to start chanting. She was chanting so weakly, you could only just see her mouth moving, but she started to chant. And there she was, and she turned my way, and I'd tell her this and that way, and she would continue to chant. And then at a certain point, she was sort of lying on her back, and she opened her eyes, and she looked at us, and she said, wow, this is heavy. It was so funny. I mean, nobody says that. People are dying, they're dying. They don't think, this is heavy. Like as if, you know, this is hard work, you know. It was so natural. She was so natural. It was just like, gosh, I've got to do this now. And she was just there with us, right consciously there, not in any particularly heavy pain. Not in a miracle way, in an extremely natural way. She was just there until at a certain point she seemed to stop breathing. And as I said, she was a kind of an imperial kind of person. So we put it was so relaxed, we just put the tulsi leaf in her mouth. And then she went, we took it out very quickly and kept chanting. And she wasn't ready yet. And when she left so nonchalantly. It was almost like saying, see you later. That's how natural it was. And I've never seen somebody leave like that. Usually they go into some sort of a coma or some state that's altered where you lose access to them. But she was there right till the end. And then it was like, and when she left, it felt like, she's gone to another temple. You know, she's gone to live in another country. We have so many temples all over the world. People come to Vrindavan and go home. She'd come, she was going home now. It was so down to earth. And so this verse to me was like, it was so proven. No, I'm sure she experienced pain, but she didn't experience any overwhelming pain. That when I saw this verse recently again, studying Ajameel, I thought, I have to share this with the devotees. Because we need this faith, this confidence, to be able to lift ourselves a bit above the idea that this is me and I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And when I die, it's all over. And after I've died, I've just gone. And everybody's lost me. To another understanding, not literal, it's very subtle, but to an understanding that no, we don't die. We don't die. She knew that. We don't die. We're just going somewhere else. And the we is the real me, not the person who I think I am. If I think this is me, you would laugh. If I say, see, this is me, I'm kind of an orangey color, you'll go, no, that's not you. So to Srila Prabhupada, to a saintly person, our I is not you. And this is the importance of chanting. This is the importance. And we hear the difficulty of chanting, but this is the importance of chanting. So they said, these Yamadutas said, he has already atoned, millions of lives he's atoned. He helplessly called out Narayan. And this is very interesting. It was not pure. It was not pure. But there was no offense. Why was there no offense? Because he was helpless. He had nothing on his mind except, help! Now, if we were sitting here, even in a class, and somebody outside screamed out, help, at the top of their voice, how many people would jump up to see what was wrong with that person and run out immediately? Because they're calling and they're terrified. Something has happened to them. And instantly, the servants of Lord Narayan were there. They told the Yamadutas, you only saw the external situation. We only see the external situation. We can see what's going on the surface, but we have no power to see what's going on in the heart. We have none. And they have the power to see what's going on in someone's heart. So they understand. Remember the analogy that's given of the prostitute and the brahmana, and they lived nearby each other, and the prostitute, the brahmana would put a rock outside her house every time he saw a man enter. He'd put a rock just to show her, look what you're doing. But she was feeling very ashamed of what she was doing, and he was feeling very disgusted. And she was becoming purified by what she was doing. And he was becoming impurified by what he was doing, by showing what she was doing, because he saw the external only. And it's not that we say, oh, therefore the external isn't important. It's the internal that's important. Who cares what we're doing on the outside? No, we don't say that. Neither should we say, as some silly people sometimes say, well, you know, my hero is Ajamil. I've heard people say this, silly people. You know, I'm just going to do all the things I'm going to do, and at the end of my life I'll chant Hare Krishna and it will be okay. And we say, no, that's a silly thing to say, because Ajamil at the beginning of his life did so much pious activity. So you'd better get the beginning in, not the end in. This is the important point. So the Vishnudutta said that they gave the list of all the horrible crimes, and then they said, it is my duty, Lord Narayan says, if they call to me, it is my duty to give protection. And nothing purifies like the Lord's names. If you chant Krishna's name properly, and we should try to do this, this is what they said, and this is also interesting. If you chant Hare Krishna properly, it will remind you of the fame, the qualities, the characteristics, the pastimes, and the other paraphernalia of the Lord. So even if all we can do is chant Hare Krishna and try to listen to the sound, these are the things that will arise as we make advancement. We'll start to think about Krishna himself as a person from chanting his name. And this is what frees one from sin, greater than one can commit, because of the Lord's omnipotence. We begin to perceive his presence, and this strengthens us and takes us forward in our own efforts. So chanting, this is what they said, chanting or glorifying the name, fame, pastimes is recommended because it eradicates the dirt entirely. How does it eradicate the dirt entirely? Another very wonderful point. It eradicates the dirt in your heart, the unclean things in the heart, because it calls for him, and he comes. And he says, the Vishnu Dutta says, he personally cleanses your heart. He cleanses your heart if you call for him. This is most extraordinary. because we would think, oh, it's so hard, I'm not doing anything enough, I can't actually clean my heart myself, it's impossible. But if we call out with this intention, he'll come, and he does it. Why does he do it? Because you want him to. Your responsibility is to want the right thing, not to do the right thing. It's not possible for you to clean your heart. You try, it's not possible. But it's possible for him to clean your heart. It's easy for him to clean your heart. But if you don't want your heart cleansed, he won't cleanse it, because he won't interfere with your freedom of choice. So what happens with us, at least it's my experience, is we half want him to clean our heart and half want to stay the way we are. And so we say, well, Krishna consciousness doesn't work. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It's not really doing it. But the reason that it's not doing it is because we only partially want it. And so our challenge is to develop our appreciation of what it would be like to say, for example, live there, instead of being caught up here. Or, as well as being caught up here, to explore what it would be like to have consciousness like they have in the spiritual world. Because Krishna himself tells us, you are meant to be there, you are part of me. So this is actually our challenge, to develop our awareness of Krishna, to chant with a sense that he's the person, I'm chanting his name. And I really need help. I really need help. Not sometimes I need a bit of help. I one time met an old man here. He was the father of a devotee. And we met him, and he was quite talkative. He was from South India. And he said, he was rattling on a bit, and he said, you know, I never go to the temple. And he said, oh, okay. And he goes, because I don't want anything, therefore I don't go. Okay. So you see the attitude? When I want something, I go. When I don't want anything, I don't go to the temple. But that change has to take place. That actually I want to serve you. I want to know you. I want to develop my relationship with you. Not just as one time somebody said, I don't want my japa to be like a counting exercise, like children do. You know, they have these little beads on a thing and they go like this. Just it's a counting exercise for children. I don't want my rounds to be that. They may be, but I don't want that. I want something higher than that. I want an intimacy to occur between myself and the person whose name I'm calling on. There's a person behind the name. And this is what has to slowly, slowly, or very rapidly sink in for us. There's a person, and I'm calling out, as Ajamil called out. First he called out for his son, who was extremely real to him. If you are in difficulty, you have to think, who's most real to me? My mother, my father, my husband, my child, my friend? Who's most real to me? Who would I call out to? If I slipped outside and broke my leg, who would I call to? Nobody's here. Who would I want to come? With that much urgency, he called out the name of Narayan. And the Yamadutas pointed out, he wasn't thinking of Narayan, he was thinking of his son. But here's the key, the Vishnudutas said, yes, but that's not his son's name. He's named his son Narayan, but that's not his son's name, that's God's name. Narayana. This is the name of the Lord. So that name, Narayana, has such potency. And he's been calling that name, calling it, without being kind of duplicitous or clever. He's just been calling. And now, at this most crucial moment of terror, he remembered the real Narayan from his childhood, from that time way back that he long forgot. He remembered him. And now he called the name with full-heartedness. And Prabhupada, one time, I didn't unfortunately bring the reference written down, but there's one class, I read it last night, where Srila Prabhupada, the person who's reading the verse, says, and he called out three times, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. And Prabhupada's voice comes in very sharp and very authoritative. And he said, why three? And there's a sort of silence. Where did you get this from? And Prabhupada's very stern. And obviously it was something that had been written in. And Prabhupada said, I have not said this. And then after everybody's, and even me listening to it, was like scared to bits, because I knew Srila Prabhupada could be like very stern like that. I'm sitting there, and then Prabhupada says, why three? One time is enough. And all the devotees cheered. So this is the nature of what we've been given. And if we can treasure it and use it properly, we're very, very fortunate. We're very fortunate. So fortunate we can't even imagine. So this is the situation. They told the Yamadutas after that, they said, he helplessly chanted, already he's free from sinful life, do not try to take him away. And the Yamadutas were aghast. Nobody had ever done this in their whole career. They'd never been obstructed like this. So they left, and we're not going to continue on to what happened after they left, what they said to Yamaraj, how they complained about this incident, and what Yamaraj said to them in exchange. But we should understand that he was released by this potent medicine of chanting Krishna's names. So let's stop here, and if anyone has any questions, please ask. Thank you. Yes. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you. Thank you for sharing Mother Gauri's story.
Story. Yes.
Yeah. Mataji, I had a question that, which even you nicely elaborated on that. Ajamil's chanting was not pure, but it was not offensive. But if the chanting is offensive, then, like, if his chanting was offensive, then would the Vishnu Dutas have come?
Then?
Would the Vishnu Dutas have come?
Would the Vishnu Dutas have come? That's a good question. I can't fully answer that question, but I referred to last night when reading about this, Srila Prabhupada was giving a class to devotees. You see, we're a different category. Ajamil was who some of us were before we joined the Krishna consciousness movement. We were traveling in the world in a very sinful way, but we were, you could say, innocent like animals. Prabhupada talks about being animals. And one very senior Vaishnava one time looked at myself and a group of us, and he said, previously you were sinful, and now you are only offensive. And we felt like, oh, great. So two different categories, sinful and offensive. What does that mean? That means that now you know something, but you're not doing it. Right? We know already, but we're not doing it. Whereas the other one is ignorant like an animal. They don't know, and so whatever they do, they're so sinful, but they can do something heartily and benefit. So we're in this category of offensive. What is the primary offense? Subtly, not in a gross, crude way, we think, well, you know, I'm a devotee already. If I do a little this or a little that, you know, I go to the morning program and it clears it. We don't intend to be kind of duplicitous, but there's something in there. I know something, so, you know, I'll just pick it up again. And so therefore that means that, oh, you do things and then you chant Hare Krishna to clear them. That's offensive. So Srila Prabhupada, in one class I was reading, he pointed this out and he said there's no value to offensive chanting. He went on and on, because now I've got another group. This is my first group. They're all sinful. So I'm going to encourage these ones who are sinful with kind words, because they're so sinful. They've all got their sort of, they've got their knife at their throat trying to figure out whether they should shave their face or cut their throat. So, oh, I've got to do something here. So I'm going to say nice things to them and try to get them to put their knife down. You understand? This group, they're endangered. So I'm going to be nice to them to get them. Don't do that. Don't do that. You're very intelligent. You're this, you're that. Just take this medicine, on and on and on. So much there. Okay, now these groups, some of this group, come over here to this side, and they're my second grade. This first grade, second grade. Second grade, here they are. They've already come over here. Now what? Now they have to reform. They have to correct themselves. They have to move forward. So some of them are going to think, oh, I was having a reasonably good time being sinful. Maybe I can continue with a little sinful activity and a little chanting as well. That might be enough for me. Thank you. And Prabhupada says, no, look at you. Look at you. You're still like this. You still do this and you're doing this and you're doing this. Now he's yelling at these ones and he's saying nice things to those ones. Right? And you feel like, hang on. I step forward and now I'm getting a hard time. You know, I should go back. No, you have to be reformed, you have to be corrected, and you have to go on with your education further and further and further. So sometimes when you're in the beginning, it looks like these guys get away with a lot. You know, Ajamili, Vishnu Dutas came, you know, and look at me. You know, if everyone come for me, Prabhupada is saying offensive chanting will not get you anywhere. There's no use in chanting offensively. He's going like this. But then he says at the end of the lecture, anyway, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. But he's training these ones. He's not training them. They're untrained as yet. So these ones, he's going to get very strong with them. And if they start to look a little disheartened, he'll pat them on the back. No, 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 keep going. You're doing well. And as soon as they get a little proud of themselves, he's going to come down on them again, because he's training them. Why did you say that? Why did you do this? Pick that up. Don't keep your book on the floor. On and on and on. So who's better off? These ones or these ones? These ones. Because they're going up. And Ajamil, after he got this reprieve, he joined this group and he went to become trained. And when he was sufficiently trained, the Vishnu Dutas disappeared. As soon as he tried to talk to them, when he was lying in the bed and they were there, and he was like, you saved me, thank you so much, that's amazing. And now let me say something, thank you at least. As soon as he tried to talk to them, they disappeared. They were no longer there. Because now he was ready to be trained. And so now what he did was he said, I've wasted so much of my life, I've done horrific things, I've led a terrible life. I caused pain to my father, I left my wife, I did everything wrong. I'm going immediately to Haridwar to rectify this last period of my life. With a vengeance, because I've wasted so much. Now I have to work super hard. And he went. And he went and he focused and he was serious now and he was training himself. He had the training from the beginning and it came back to him. And now I'm going to, I only want to remember the Lord. I don't want all this rubbish stuff. That's all pertaining to that life. I want this. And when he had done enough diligent hard work, the Vishnudutas came back. They gave him time. In the Bhagavatam it says they gave him time for him to learn to glorify the Lord. That's what the time was given for. And then they came back and then they said to him, now it's time for you to go. We're going. You're fully trained. Let's go. And they went. So this offensiveness and purity, they're quite fascinating to me. How someone can be impure and unoffensive or pure and offensive, you know, it's like... But if you see it as different classes of progress, it's easier to recognize why, where we get strictures put on us, that's not acceptable. Impure chanting, no, the Lord won't come for you. You have to make your life more pure. Do it. We're fortunate for that, not unfortunate for that. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Nice answer. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Mataji, I have this question on, I guess, when you were speaking about free will, and Krishna obviously has given us free will, and he doesn't intervene in that. But I guess sometimes, you know, there are circumstances and times in our life where we want Krishna to intervene, we want him to reciprocate, because we don't know what to do. Like, even though the free will is there, he doesn't intervene in that, because he's given that space for us to make choices and decisions. But at times, you know, we want Krishna to intervene, you know, we're like, okay, because we don't know, like, what to do. Like,
yes.
So I guess, how do we understand his reciprocation in those times when we, you know, the free will is there, but then we don't know whether we're doing the right thing or the wrong thing, and we want him to reciprocate.
Yeah.
So how do we, like, you know...
Then we have to watch for his reciprocation. The difficulty is, when we're in a situation like that, that we have an expectation of what his reciprocation should be. You know, it's like, I mean, I'll make it sound silly. We're expecting that he should step out in front and say, here you go, have one of these, or don't do that, that would be very bad for you. And we're expecting something like fits into our way of thinking. We're expecting something that fits into our way of thinking. And the problem with that is that we're the ones who are in a state of ignorance, and he's not. So he's going to reciprocate with you, but you don't know who you are. This is a real problem. It's like if I say to you, I'm going to send you a letter, and I send it to you, but you think you're somebody else, you say, I didn't get a letter. Right? One time I asked Bhanu Swami this question. He was saying how when you chant Hare Krishna, you get millions of benefits. He was speaking about how much good fortune would come to you. And so I put up my hand and I said, you know, I've been chanting Hare Krishna for quite some time. I really don't feel like any of that's come yet, you know. It still seems to be the same challenge. And he sort of looked at me and he said, the benefit goes to you. And then when he said it the way he said it, he implied that the I, my mind, my perception, it's coming to me. So I have this whole treasure of blessings, but I don't know who I am. And it's there, and it's not been taken away. It hasn't not come, it's come. But I'm thinking, this is me, and I don't feel it. I still feel my mind is disturbed. I still feel I have material desires, and so forth. And that really helped me. It was like a penny dropped. That, of course, I don't know who I am. You've got to put that into the formula. So then we might say, listen, you know, because we're a little childish, we might say, I'm so helpless, I don't know who I am, you'll have to come and fix it all. Right? Give me a clue, show me what to do, being who I am now, who I think I am right now. And in that way, you've got to become also a little bit intelligent and look around for hints. Look for hints and you have to maintain a sincerity of purpose. Otherwise you might jump right back into, I think this, I think that, I want this, I want that, I didn't get one. So I didn't get one, that means he didn't give me one, that means he doesn't like me, that means he wasn't there, that means he didn't hear me. So many reasons may come into you, reasoning may come into your mind. The first thing is to understand that it's going to your post box. It is going there. He is reciprocating with you, but you're not there yet. You're over here. And if you want to understand him from over here, because I'm not able to go there, then I have to calm down the part of my mind that says all that stuff. And say, I'm trying to understand, and stay there. Do you understand?
A little bit, yeah.
So in other words, some of the work has to go on with you, and if you say it doesn't work, then that's a little bit like a child who says, you know, I tried to open the door, it doesn't work for me. And the adult says, yeah, you can open it, you just have to pull it a little more, move it like that, and then it works for everyone, so it does work for you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Do you have more you wanted to say?
I guess, I don't know if this is silly to ask, but I guess how, just to understand it a little bit more, how do we get to that, like from there to there? Like how do we see the hints and how do we try to at least see his reciprocation?
Some chanting is required. Because chanting is so powerful, even if it's offensive. And that's what Prabhupada said in the end. He sort of, after saying, you know, offensive chanting doesn't work, it's like this, then he said, anyway, wherever you are, chant. So chanting does work, whether it's offensive or not. But offensive chanting is not the goal, so he's got to point you higher than that. But if that's your next step, and it's all of our next step, then we must take it. And that brings a certain softness to the situation, a certain kind of humility that I can't see you, but I've been told and I trust that you are taking care of me. By definition, I've heard it, I've read it, authoritative people have said it. I'm going to trust them, but I don't feel it at all. I'm really scared. Anyway, I'm going to trust. That'll come through chanting and also through reading. Read some Bhagavad Gita. Because Krishna says there, and then you ask him that, and then it comes to the next thing is reflection or prayer, where you're like, I'm not feeling it, what should I do? And from within, then, if you get an intuition, you try to act on it, see if it has substance or not. If it's a material thing, you don't act on everything you're thinking because that could get you into trouble. But if it's an improvement in yourself that you're seeking, try to act on what comes to you. Something will come.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any others? No? Yes, yes.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for the nice class. Mataji, you mentioned how in this past time, Ajamil, he chants the Lord's name in a really helpless condition, and through that, all of his sins, he gets relieved of all his sins. But I was thinking sometimes we see devotees dying in the hospital, and sometimes they're in such a painful condition that they can't even chant helplessly. But the devotees around them are doing kirtan, reading scriptures. So how does the Lord reciprocate with them in that way?
Well, I think the first reciprocation is to have devotees around you who are chanting. That's a huge reciprocation. When we hear here, like if you chant Hare Krishna at the time of death, you won't feel any pain. That's an important thing to remember. And this person is unable to chant. They're in a great deal of pain. But still within that pain, if you accept the pain, if you accept the pain is much lessened than if you can't accept the pain. So the devotees are trying to help you to be able to accept that pain at that time. And also, usually speaking, it's not for a very long time. And transiting from one body to the other, there is pain involved. It's subtle pain, even if it's not physical pain. Because it's like if you have something that you value. If you have a bicycle and someone steals your bicycle, there's some feeling of, oh, that's not so good. And that's just a bicycle. So when your body is going to be removed, there's going to be a certain amount of mental pain, if not physical pain. So if you have devotees with you at that time, you have some strength and support. It's very important. That's a gift to begin with, and that will help tremendously. And if you notice, we never know what somebody goes through at the time of death. Nobody goes through the doors with them. The doors open, they go in, we don't know anything. It's most mysterious, actually. So we don't know what happened. We don't know what happened on the other side. And people sometimes say, you know, I had a near-death experience, or white light, I saw this or that. We go, yeah, fair enough, I don't know what that was. We don't know. But we're personalists, so we're calling out Krishna's name. And I think we should trust that Krishna will be there, even if we can't call it out ourselves, and others are doing it for us. Have you ever done that? Been with somebody when they're passing away in great pain?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you chant?
Yes.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.